Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in Sports Grid, pro football full circle, right here, Sirius Channel 159, radio affiliates across the country. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts. We got at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. We are talking all things NFL playoffs. We'll be taking a look ahead towards next week's games, guys, as we get the division round. For the chance to play for championship weekend, and then on into the Super Bowl. We're going to be teeing it up for you. Also recapping the games from this weekend as, hey, we got a lot to talk about, including the Rams and the Lions when we get to it. But Mark, overall, man, what were your thoughts so far as we're a few games in here, at least two days in of wild card weekend. Overall thoughts, man, how do you think it's playing out?
Kind of as we expected. There haven't really been any real surprises other than the way that Dallas got destroyed today. I mean, I think the first three games sort of told us all we needed to know about, you know, about what we thought. So I'm not too taken aback by anything that's gone on to this point. But, you know, there's still two more games on Monday that we'll have to contend with and, you know, finish up the Sunday night game as well.
I mean, I guess one thing I would throw out there is back-to-back days of two pick sixes thrown in the game. I found that like kind of eye-popping. You know, it definitely changed the game in the Browns and the Texans with Joe Flacco. The run that he had kind of coming to a crashing end, the ageless one, as Houston won that game, which we'll break down here shortly. But yeah, that's just one thing that kind of popped out at me. I mean, weather becoming an issue with the Miami Dolphins traveling up to Kansas City. Very cold weather and struggling very much. Just getting one touchdown as Kansas City got the win there. Under with an easy cash as well. Over in the Browns and Texans. So totals-wise, I'm not really seeing much. I guess, I mean, home teams, at least yesterday's games, you know, in the Saturday slate, looking really good, but I guess Dallas being at home against the Packers, kind of struggling in that one, and then Detroit being at home as well. And we saw one game being moved from Sunday, guys. Supposed to have three games, but Pittsburgh and Buffalo moved to the Monday slate. What were your thoughts on the NFL moving that game, the Bills and the Steelers, Mark?
It was a smart thing to do. It was the right thing to do. I mean, look, more than anything, I mean, I'm all for football being played in the elements and everything else. And snow games are a lot of fun to watch on TV, but everything else, like, you know, do you really want a playoff game decided by that? Like, it's a degraded product. There's no doubt about it. It's fun to watch, but it's clearly a degraded product. Like, you're not going to get the best players on the field putting their best performance together because it doesn't allow for it. So, you know, I mean, for me, it's as simple as forget the players and the coaches for a second. There are literally thousands of personnel that need to get to a stadium to put a football game on. Everything from stadium workers, concession stands, parking attendants, security people. Not only that, you also have to have local law enforcement working the game, right? Because they need to direct traffic and they need to be on standby and call and everything else. Oh, by the way, local law enforcement at that point in time was tending to the blizzards and the people who were home and stuck and needed help and everything else. So they physically couldn't split their forces, so to speak, to go work a football game. Like, it just didn't make any sense to put anybody in danger. And forget the fans just to put the football game on, it was thousands of people that would have struggled to get there to do it, even if you didn't put a single fan in the stands. Oh, by the way, yeah, if you'd like to put another 75,000 people in harm's way by making them travel, There was nothing beneficial to playing the game yesterday. Had nothing to do with the elements outside and the weather. It had everything to do with actually putting on a football game.
All great points, Mark.
Okay. So, like, you're a Miami Dolphins fan. If there's a hurricane raging through South Florida, do we just play the game anyway? Well, it's meant to be played in the elements. No, you don't, because it's stupid. People can get hurt and killed. Like, I don't understand why this was such a tough leap for people to understand.
Well, when you break it down like that, you know, the elements and law enforcement, you're making great points. You know, you're doing a great job, Councilman Mark Senno. But I guess part of me, the football fan, is just like, you know, there could be advantages given to one side or the other. Maybe not so much in this matchup, at least not glaring to me. But then again, where does that line stop? You know, is it too cold in Kansas City to play the game?
No. Because people driving in the cold to arrive at the stadium is not a danger. Not more than it would be if it was 30 degrees or 60 degrees or 80 degrees. People standing outside, you can prepare for those elements. The hard part was just about them physically getting to the stadium in those conditions and then getting home from the stadium in those conditions where they were not putting their own lives in jeopardy.
Okay. So changing the game. Hey, it's part of it. There's nothing we can do about it. It's going on Monday now as we get the doubleheader going right up against the NBA, which, you know, I feel like was a little bit of a jab. The NFL saying, no, we're the king.
I mean, and also remember this, too. You know, like, the NFL is required to cooperate with local law enforcement. So when the governor of New York put a travel ban on, in theory, not in actuality, if there's a travel ban on and you are traveling, guess what? You're breaking the law and you can be arrested. Like, that is factually what can happen. Just like if they institute a curfew ban or whatever and you're out past curfew, you can be arrested. So you're asking citizens then to break the law to go put on a football game. And that's just not reality.
Good point, man. I was on the other side of the fence, and I think you just sold me. I think they made the safe decision and probably the right decision. And Pittsburgh Buffalo will be going. Hey, early kick. We get a doubleheader on Monday, 4:30 Eastern, followed 8:15 Eastern. Philadelphia Eagles, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will be breaking both of those games down in depth. And we'll also, on the other side of the break, guys, we got a hard out coming out. We'll be recapping Texans and Browns. Brought up the pick six, back-to-back pick sixes. Man, that was wild. The game was still in doubt when those pick sixes happened. If you haven't heard, if you were traveling like I was, watching it in the Yucatan, Mexico, and Joe Flacco, the ageless one, man, he looked good for the last 4 or 5 weeks. He was good against the spread, and then sure enough, in the playoffs, particularly on back-to-back drives, just was not pretty there. And particularly the first one, he was throwing it just to open air and got brought all the way back. But we'll dive deep here, guys, into the Texans and Browns on the other side. We'll be breaking down Green Bay and Dallas, if you missed that one early today. The Dolphins and the Chiefs, and then the Rams and the Lions before taking a look ahead towards tomorrow's action. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Pro Football Focus here on Sports Grid at Sports Grid TV, YouTube Series XM, Channel 159. Mark Zeno alongside Drew Martin as we continue going through Wild Card Weekend here. And we'll break down all the games from Wild Card Weekend, including the Sunday night game coming up later on in the show. But manifestly, the first game between these two teams, to start Wild Card Weekend off, as the Texans and Browns met in Houston. And this is a rematch of these two teams meeting about 4 weeks ago, with the one difference Stroud did not play in that game. And it was a 36-22 final. Joe Flacco lit up the Texans secondary in that game. And so the Texans exact a little revenge, 45-14. They cover the +3. This thing skies way over the total of 44. In this game, in fact, the Texans got over the total all by themselves. Joe Flacco still threw for 300 yards in the game. C.J. Stroud played really well. But all things considered here, the Texans defense really showed up big in this game and made a huge difference with two pick sixes in the game that ultimately was really what swayed the tide of the game. It was a close game. It was a tight game. And really, that's what kind of changed the outcome. You know, they were trading scores early on. And from there, it just did not come together for Cleveland. After it was a 17-14 game in the second quarter, a lot of scoring. Joe Flacco threw a pick six at the end of the first half, made it 24-14, and then their first drive out in the second half, Joe Flacco threw another pick six, 31-14, and Cleveland was never able to get back into it any size, way, shape, or form. So it was all Houston Texans. And again, this is a team here with a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback, first time ever rookie head coach and rookie quarterback have won a division. And you know, the Houston Texans did it all, Drew, this weekend, and a very impressive 45-14 win.
Absolutely. I mean, I in terms of the back-to-back pick sixes, that obviously set the tone to where the game was out of reach. But I'm with you. I mean, the Texans look good outside of that. You know, there was big question marks with C.J. Stroud in his first playoff game, you know, obviously being a rookie out of Ohio State. But I thought he looked good. You know, you can see the athletic ability. We've been able to see it pretty much every game that he played outside of the games that he missed in the regular season. And it really showed the, you know, they're kind of a wild card, if you will, no pun intended, after the wild card win, in terms of making a run here. I'm not against, you know, the Texans surprising people moving forward in this NFL playoffs. They're obviously going to have some tough matchups. But, Mark, I'm not writing them off. It's not like I have the Texans circled as a team. Yeah, they got a big win, but it was against Joe Flacco. You know, what really is that? No, I think the Texans can actually go toe-to-toe here and make a playoff run. I'm not writing them off just yet, Mark.
Well, the Texans are likely going to have to go into Baltimore. Because if the Bills win, then it's Bills and Chiefs, and the Texans are going to go to Baltimore. These two teams met back in week one in a game the Ravens won 25-9, I think it was. It was a close game in the first half, and then the Ravens end up pulling away. That said, they were dynamically different teams back in week one than they are right now. And really, I don't think the Texans are going to go into Baltimore and win a playoff game. Can they make it tighter than expected? Yeah. And when that number comes out, I expect the Ravens to be a 7.5, 8-point favorite.
Yeah, I'm with you. It will be more than a touchdown. So keep that in mind, guys. When we say, like, the Texans, don't write them off just yet.
Go back to week one, they were a 7.5-point dog, 18 weeks ago, 19 weeks ago. It's not really a reference point for anything because, again, they're dynamically different teams, but it wouldn't shock me. It would surprise me if this was under a touchdown.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean, the Texans, which, by the way, guys, our producers Matt and Frank helping us out here with a heck of a stat, Mark. First rookie head coach quarterback combo to win a playoff game since who? Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. How about it? Not the butt fumble here either.
No, you know who did it before them? Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been.
John Harbaugh in 2008 was a rookie head coach, but Joe Flacco was a rookie quarterback, and they finished in the wild card round and won a playoff game that went to the AFC Championship game that year and lost to the Steelers.
Man, I'm going back here, and that game, by the way, nice poll on top of who did it before that, but at Mark Zeno, social media. Ravens and Texans, week number one, 25-9. That was the Ravens on top of the Texans in Baltimore. So it will be in Baltimore again if it plays out this way, 25-9. But, you know, handicapping-wise, you know, it was a rookie quarterback, game one, C.J. Stroud went 28 of 44. Not bad in terms of completion for attempts, 242 yards. Lamar Jackson, 17 of 22, 169 yards, did throw an interception. He also had 38 yards on the ground. And it was 7-6 at halftime, Mark. I mean,
yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah. You did reference, you know, how much can we really pull from that 18 weeks ago? I would say probably not much. I mean, keep in mind the Browns and the Texans just played, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was a totally different game second time around. So 18 and weeks
another,
prior.
Another reference point, the Eagles and Buccaneers played back in week four, and the Eagles destroyed them. I think it's 25-11 was the final, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just kind of looking everything up from that game. Man, the Ravens only had 58 plays compared to the Texans, 72. First downs, 18-18. So I think it was a little bit closer than that 25-9. And like you said, second half, Ravens really pulled away. It is a tough matchup. You know, the Ravens, obviously the one seed, the favorite in the betting markets in the AFC. So I don't love the draw. If the Texans have to head to Baltimore, still, I mean, there is questions to be had with Monday's games. Also, the Texans had 9 penalties for 88 yards in that one. The Ravens had 13 penalties for 106 yards. I think they're calling a little bit different football early in the season, as they usually do, trying to make their mark. 2 turnovers for the Ravens in that game. So you think that line, what, 7.5, 8? Mark Zeno Sportsbook, that's what you would open it at. That sounds about right.
Yeah, again, I mean, you have to have some sort of respect for what the Texans are able to do. Again, you know, C.J. Stroud, like all quarterbacks, struggles under pressure. He's not good under pressure, and he makes some bad decisions. The Ravens are good at creating pressure. It's kind of what they do better than most teams in the league. But if they can protect C.J. Stroud, you have to give some respect to the fact that the Texans are going to score. Otherwise, this thing would be closer to 10.
You know, total yards-wise in that week one matchup, the Ravens only had 265 total yards. I'm interested to see what that total comes out at, Mark. I mean, obviously weather-dependent, things of that nature, open-air stadium, but I kind of might like an under. After that high-scoring wild card round the Texans just had, I think we might get a little bit of an inflated number. Any quick opinion here on the total?
Yeah, I mean, again, I could also see the total coming in because the Ravens play really good defense and they end up winning the game, you know, 30, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the Ravens are a run team, so for the most part, you know, they can grind the pace down and go slow.
Could see that happening, being the home team there, kind of controlling pace, good defense. Rushing attack as well, athletic ability from the quarterback position, all there, guys, is, Ravens-Texans, a likely matchup in the division round. We'll be hitting the Packers and the Cowboys, the Rams and the Lions as well, and, of course, the Dolphins and the Chiefs as my Miami Dolphins go down. Tua not looking good in the cold. Taylor Swift dancing in the press box. Mahomes as well. Guys, we'll be breaking it all down. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Short break. More on the other side. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno. We are breaking down the wild card round, taking a look ahead towards the division round. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. We got Matt and Frank in the producer's role doing a great job as always. We'll take a look ahead later in the show towards the Monday NFL playoff games as well. So we've got two of them with the game change in the Bills and Steelers game there in Buffalo due to the emergency change due to the weather in the state of New York. But first, we're going to be recapping the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs. Is the 11-6 Kansas City Chiefs beat the 11-6 Miami Dolphins 26-7. They win, they cover as the short home favorite. Game stays under as well. That's what I bet, the under 43.5 due to the cold conditions. Part of my handicap here, Mark, was Tua being the the Hawaiian guy playing his college football in the South, playing his pro football in South Florida, and going up there. Oh, man, it was a cold, cold, cold day, cold night in Kansas City, and they go down pretty big. They couldn't do much offensively. Tua finished the game 20 of 39. Percentage-wise, I would say that's probably as low as of the season, at least off the top of my head, 199 yards, so sub-200-yard performance, just a 5.1-yard average, one touchdown, one interception, was sacked twice. Up against Patrick Mahomes, 23 of 41, 262 yards. He had one touchdown, no interceptions. It was 16-7 going into halftime, Mark. Still somewhat in doubt. Miami really couldn't do much offensively. And then Kansas City got 10 in the second half to kind of coast to the 26-7 win. Tyreek Hill getting back into Arrowhead, five receptions, 62 yards, 12.4 average with that one touchdown. Overall, Mark, thoughts? The Dolphins heading up to cold weather, not looking good offensively. Tua did not play well in his playoff debut there for this season. Just keep in mind, I say debut because he was injured last year against Buffalo, but did not look good this year. Overall thoughts with the Fins going down to the Chiefs, man?
Did you see Patrick Mahomes' helmet crack? Did you see that? It was so cold. His helmet cracked and he had to have a new helmet. I've never seen that before. I've genuinely never seen that before. But other than that, you know, look, I'll say this much. The Chiefs offense isn't very good. They settled for a lot of field goals in this game, very short ones inside the red zone. And that's going to be a problem when you play a legitimate team in the next round. They got to figure out how to score touchdowns, and I don't know that they necessarily will. I mean, I'm not sure Miami really ever stood much of a chance in this game, and I don't say that because I think they're a bad football team, but the elements going up against Mahomes, who's never lost a home playoff game, you know, and everything else, it just, you know, I thought the Dolphins might have been able to score a little more, but the Chiefs' defense is really good, and Chiefs' unders have been cashing because their offense isn't scoring and their defense is really good, and that's a recipe for unders, if you ask me.
It absolutely is. I think their defensive line is a little bit underrated as well, is one thing I would add in. Travis Kelce had seven receptions, 71 yards. Rice led the way receiving for the Chiefs, eight receptions, 130 yards, and the touchdown. Pacheco, 24 carries, 89 yards. They kind of controlled the clock there, talking about the Chiefs' offense, a little grinded out, particularly in the second half. You know, I would guess, I haven't seen the numbers, but a lot of people complaining on social media how the NFL broadcasted this game, Mark. I know you had some kind of words off camera about it. What's your overall kind of thought process there with how the NFL went about this in the NFL playoffs?
My words were simple. I didn't pay for Peacock. So I didn't watch the game. I mean, you know, I don't have much to say about it because I didn't watch the game. That said, I don't know, NBC pays the NFL like, you know, couple of $100 million for the broadcast rights. And in return, NBC told the NFL, here's your couple of $100 million. And we're going to put a playoff game on our streaming service to up subscriptions to help us make some money back from the hundreds of millions of dollars we're going to pay you. And the NFL said, okay, fine. No worries. We'll take the check. Thanks. Appreciate it. I mean, this is, guys, I mean, you can get upset all you want. This is the direction that everything is going. So the NFL has no duty to make their product free for everybody to consume. And, you know, at some point in time, someone's going to walk up to the NFL and instead of paying, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, they're going to pay hundreds of billions of dollars to do what they want with the product. And the NFL is going to say, okay, that's fine. Just stroke the check. We're good. Bring us the money and you do whatever you want. We're cool. Because our product is impenetrable and everybody knows that. And so the numbers say that the Peacock, you know, was the most downloaded app. I don't know what the time frame was, but it was like the most downloaded app yesterday. Okay, so it worked. Everybody paid the $5.99. They canceled their subscription, but guess what? NBC doesn't care because what's $5.99 times, oh, I don't know, 56 million? Do some higher math. That's a lot of money. So For the 50 million people who might have watched that game, it might be less than that. Let's say conservatively 20. Average about 15, 16 million people watch an NFL game. So let's just say for a playoff game, we're at 20, 25 million. Still, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm seeing here 23 million viewers on Peacock's wildcard broadcast. It's the most streamed NFL game ever, but we got to put that in context. I mean, they really haven't put a prime time playoff game streaming. So I almost wonder if it's like kind of the headline looks a little bit sexier than it really is from a viewership standpoint. Also, just from personal experience, guys, I just flew back this morning. So I actually watched this game in the Yucatan, Mexico. It's something I learned from living in Costa Rica. A lot of times when they do this, like stream and pay for it, that's really only for the United States. I mean, this is just something I've learned personally. A lot of the international world sees these games for free. You know, it's almost a little bit frustrating as an American, but I don't know how they would fix that. You know, the international world, you can't really police everybody. Just something to note there that maybe a lot of these kind of viewers did not pay for it, but I don't know that for sure. Just something that I've noticed and I saw in person last night watching the game. I would go back to Tua, just kind of the matchup on the field. And I saw a lot on social media, Mark, of Tua isn't the guy people are making him out to be. You know, we all remember his kind of coming to the mainstream, throwing that touchdown in the national championship against the Georgia Bulldogs, winning the national championship as a freshman at Alabama, the tank for Tua saga, playing 2 years in college, coming into the NFL. He did go behind Joe Burrow. He dropped to the Dolphins. And in his first year, he was really good. I mean, completion percentage, accuracy, it's there. Overall, though, as one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, he is a step or two down from it, Mark. I mean, where would you put Tua in terms of ranking NFL quarterbacks?
It's probably top 12, you know, top half of the league, top 12, maybe. I mean, you know, he's in a very advantageous system. Look, the worst thing that happened to the Miami Dolphins this year was the 70-20 win over the Broncos. That was the absolute worst thing to happen to that team. It skewed everybody's perception of them. It made them look better than what they were. And it absolutely put numbers in places where they shouldn't have been about this team. And I'm not only talking about regular statistics, but I'm talking about odds and lines and everything else and totals. I mean, it just, you know, that was the worst thing that could have happened to that team. If they win that game 27-20, guess what? All year long, they're not the sexy team that everybody's talking about. They're not. They're good, but the expectation level isn't high. So you see all these numbers, and again, if they don't win that game 70-20, Tua doesn't win the passing yard, doesn't throw for the most passing yards in the NFL. It doesn't. I mean, you know, all this stuff doesn't happen. So that was absolutely the worst thing to happen to Dolphins fans, and that Dolphins team was winning that game 70-20.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're laying down. It artificially inflated the Dolphins' price tag going forward. And sure enough, they dropped the last three games of the season, granted against the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs, straight up and against the spread. All three of those games they lose. They only beat one team over 500. That was the Dallas Cowboys. They won 22-20 at home on Christmas Eve. They went off as the one-point home favorite, winning by 2 points. But outside of that game, they really struggled against the better teams in the NFL, losing to the Chiefs twice, once in Germany, once in Kansas City by a touchdown, and then just yesterday, 26-7. Game stayed under. Dolphins finished the season, what, totals-wise, 9-8 against the spread. They did finish 10-7, but we also got to remember they started off the season three straight wins straight up and against the spread. They won, what, five of their first six straight up and against the spread. So, hey, the back half of the year was not that great for the Dolphins. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the offseason. I saw some people, you know, saying they need to separate from Tua. I'm not in that camp. I think Tua, I was just talking with our producer, Frank, like, where would we rank him? I mean, top half of the league, but that's not really saying much right now in the NFL because I don't know if we can really name 15, 16 good NFL quarterbacks right now. So to rank him, like you said, Mark, top 12, I would agree with it. I mean, I think he's a borderline top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He gets the ball out quickly. Some of that is, you know, the offense he plays in. But hey, we'll see what the Dolphins do this offseason in the draft going into the AFC East next season. We'll be breaking down Kansas City going forward as well. Guys, don't go anywhere. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin here, breaking down the games from Wild Card Weekend. We'll also take a look ahead towards the divisional round. Get our first looks on Monday's games and next weekend's games. Get you on the right side of some of these moves. Shout out to Lauren on Twitter. Hey, Drew and Mark Z. My thoughts on the Dolphins was the loss to the Titans up by 14 with 3 and change. They win that. They are the 2 seed and play at home. Just a brutal loss. They had put themselves in great position and put a game up. Nothing went right after that. Totally agree with you. Thanks for the shout out on Twitter, guys, at Drew Martin Betts, at Mark Zeno, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. And to tell you the truth, Mark, that was a game I was at. It was a Monday night football game. They were up by 2 touchdowns, lost that game. And then sure enough, it really didn't go. They got 2 wins after that, but, you know, against the good teams, pretty much just 1-3 the rest of the way. So I feel like the Dolphins season, Mark, that was the key turning point when they lost to the Titans, if you remember that. They should have won the game. They were up by 2 touchdowns with, what, under 5 minutes left and lost it at home, prime time, Monday night. Nothing was the same after that. 3 minutes. Yeah, you're right.
3 minutes left. It was under 3 minutes left when they blew that lead. Yeah, that was one of those losses that turned the tide. I mean, go back to when the Jaguars lost to the Bengals and Jake Browning on Monday night. That was the beginning of the end of their season. And so, yeah, it was definitely a crucial loss. But again, we knew the Dolphins were a flawed football team. Like, it shouldn't have surprised anybody. Every time they played a physical defense that could smack them in the mouth, their offense shrunk. They were small. They did not play well. They couldn't score more than 20 points. Shouldn't have been a surprise. When you are a finesse team like that, that's what happens. You get smacked in the mouth and you can't respond. So because everything you do is predicated on speed and being quicker than everybody else. Well, when somebody catches up to you and hits you, guess what? It changes the scope of the game a little bit. So the Dolphins, they're like a lot of teams. It's not a knock on them, but they're a flawed team. There are a lot of flawed teams in the NFL. Very few teams have, you know, flaws that you can overcompensate for. Every team usually has a pretty glaring weakness, and that was the Dolphins.
Absolutely. Well said. Guys, we're going to be breaking down the Packers and the Cowboys here shortly. But, Mark, do you want to bring up a subject that you talked about in the last segment? The product of the NFL, and you brought up the weather in changing the game because the product would be diminished. Also, wanted to bring up something prime time, the Amazon Thursday night games. The product is diminished a little bit, but when a company like Amazon pays billion with a B to air the football games on Thursday night, it changes things, man. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Thursday night product? I mean, it's a diminished product, no?
No, when I say diminished product, I mean the product on the field because of the snow and the weather and the wind and the elements. I don't think Thursday night is a diminished product. I think, you know, there are decent Thursday night games out there. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't always get great scheduling games per se, but that, you know, I don't think that the quality of football is less. I think the schedule sometimes dictates that it's not. And since Amazon took over, that's kind of changed, right? Like, that's the other part of this, that Amazon demanded a better Thursday night schedule, and they're starting to get it.
I would kick back a little bit. I do think it's a diminished product. The Thursday night game on a short week, we are not seeing the same type of football, in my opinion, as we're seeing on Sundays. I think the offenses are at a at a disadvantage. We saw it in the totals. I mean, Thursday night totals were way down. Monday night totals were down as well. There's something to it primetime. Sunday night games, not as much. But, hey, maybe that's because they're getting the full kind of repetitions throughout the week. But, guys, let's break down another game here, Mark. We had the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. The road team, the Packers, the underdog, went 48-32 as they get out to the 27-7 lead at halftime. They were really pouring it on in that second quarter, able to hold on for the win. And, hey, Jordan Love led the way, 16-21, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Dak Prescott did throw 2 key interceptions, did have 403 yards, 41-60 passing. Granted, a lot of it in come-from-behind fashion, some of that kind of garbage yards, if you will. But the Packers going on the road and advancing here. And what, 6-0 in AT&T Stadium? More playoff wins than the Dallas Cowboys in AT&T Stadium? Mark, what were your thoughts here, Packers over the Cowboys?
There was a ton of shock that the Cowboys' defense played as poorly as it did. Forget the pick sixes by Dak for a second. Forget the fact that the offense, you know, didn't score until there was no time left on the clock in the second quarter. Forget that. They literally could do nothing right on offense. I mean, on defense, rather, to stop Jordan Love. They made Jordan Love look like Joe Montana. I mean, that's, you know, ultimately what it boils down to. They, when you dug yourself a 14-0 hole and a 20-0 hole because they missed the extra point. But, you know, when that happens, guess what? You automatically put it on the defense. You put your offense at such a strategic disadvantage that they can't do anything.
Guys, if you were taking receiving props in this one, particularly for the Cowboys side of things, Lamb, Gallup, Ferguson, all over 90 yards receiving. Gallup and Lamb over 100 yards receiving. CeeDee Lamb led the way with 9 receptions for 110 yards with over a 12 average. 17 average for Mike Gallup there for his 42 long led the way for the Cowboys. But a lot of that in garbage yards. Aaron Jones, 21 carries, 118 yards on the ground for the Packers. His long was 27. Dubs receiving for the Packers, 6 receptions, 151 yards with a 25 average receiving. 46 was his long. Green Bay, no fumbles, no turnovers. That always helps NFL playoffs here. 48 points, almost go for a half a hundred. Packers moving forward. You giving Green Bay much of a chance to make a run here in the NFL playoffs, Mark?
Against the Niners, no. I mean, they have a bad draw. Against the Lions, yeah, they got a shot. Against, you know, Buccaneers over with Tampa, if they played anybody else other than Niners. There was only one or two teams that really could contend with the Niners, and I don't know that Jordan Love will have that successful of a day the way he did against the Cowboys. You know, and be able to, you know, put up those kind of numbers. I just don't see it.
You know, we talked to George Kurtz, guys, in Game Live earlier, and he brought up some points with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the offseason moves, what are they going to do? Also, we were talking, I believe, off camera about if the Cowboys make any big moves, Roger Goodell might be calling Jerry Jones, hey, don't fire him on Monday. Because we got 2 NFL playoff games. I think there might be something to that. But McCarthy's playoff losses, I mean, he lost to San Francisco 23-17 in the wild card round in 21. He lost in 2022 to San Francisco 19-12 in the division round. And then in 2023, losing to Green Bay, of course, just today, 48-32. Ugly fashion. This one, it just seemed like it stung a little bit more for Cowboys fans. I heard Jerry Jones in a post-game interview saying that, you know, pretty much those words. This one hurts. So you see Dallas making a move with the head coaching change?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy would be out of a job by the morning. They'll go in a different direction. It's that simple. I mean, there's just no reason for them not to at this point in time.
And you think they'll do it before the NFL playoff games? You don't think there's anything to do that? Like change it up?
I mean, I suppose they could wait until Tuesday, you know, if they wanted to, you know, just out of deference for the rest of the league and the product. Jerry probably is smart enough that he, you know, doesn't want to detract, take the news cycle away from the games. He's very pro NFL in that sense. So I guess, yes, you're right. They may wait till Tuesday to do it. But, you know, Mike McCarthy is a dead man walking.
Any thoughts on who the next head man in charge would be for the Cowboys?
Bill Belichick.
For sure? That's leading the way?
He's the betting favorite.
Okay.
I mean, there's nobody else that really would make sense for Dallas other than Bill. That doesn't mean Bill's the right choice. And he's the best. Doesn't mean he's the best hire, but it's Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick together on the same team. I mean, look, Bill Parcells went to work for Jerry Jones, right?
Yeah. I mean, and money's a big factor in this, so. Jerry Jones wants to open up the pocketbook. I'm sure he could bring in a couple different names if he really wanted to. I'm trying to look up some odds here of the Cowboys' next head coach. I'm not really finding much. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, we got next Chargers head coach up. We get Commanders' next head coach up. Bill Belichick, you're right, minus 175 as the favorite. Man, minus number as the favorite. Mike Vrabel. Plus 600. Jim Harbaugh, plus 650. Dan Quinn, plus 800. Raheem Morris, plus 900. Even Kellen Moore making the list, plus 1200. Pete Carroll, 20-1. Some fun bets here. What about Deion Sanders? 33-1 to be the Dallas Cowboys head coach? That would be fun. Throw a little coin on Deion Sanders, 33-1. I don't know. I think he kind of likes college. I really do. I don't know if you'd be interested in the NFL, but then again, money changes a lot of things. You think Coach Prime, Dallas Cowboys, NFL in his future, Mark?
I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, Deion has the world at his feet right now. I don't know if he needs to change anything.
I'm seeing some of these names. Tony Romo, 40-1. That one's funny. Nick Saban, 50-1. I think Nick Saban's done, and I don't think money's really going to matter too much. Jimmy Johnson, 100-1. No way. They're just throwing out names now, but that would be funny. We get a lot of them, actually. Next Chargers head coach is up there. Jim Harbaugh leading the way, minus 150. Could see that happening. Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers. I think he's going to leave Michigan, which is – I don't know, after winning a national championship, I don't remember the last head coach that left after winning a national championship. But either way, guys, Packers winning it 48-32.
Nick Saban left LSU after winning a title.
And went to the Dolphins?
Yep.
Interesting. And then the I will not be the head coach of the University of Alabama statement was said. And then, we all know what happened next, and he won a couple national championships. Can't say it was the wrong decision. But, guys, Packers over the Cowboys, moving on, winning in Dallas, 6-0 in AT&T Stadium. More playoff wins than the Dallas Cowboys in AT&T Stadium. Kind of a heck of a stat there. We will be recapping more games on the other side, one of them being the Lions and the Rams. Also taking a look ahead towards next week's games. Don't go anywhere. Pro Football Full Circle. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Pro Football Full Circle right here on SportsGrid. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno here until, actually, recapping the NFL wild card weekend, taking a look ahead in the next hour towards the division rounds. We'll get you on the right side of some of these opening lines and take a look ahead towards Monday's action as well. Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. Guys, have you checked out the SportsGrid app yet? If not, you need to. SportsGrid app is live. It is now live on the Apple and Google Play Store. As the NFL season continues, we wanted to make sure we had our Android and Apple users covered. Stay up to speed on all the latest content from your favorite hosts on the Sports Grid Network. You can watch us on the TV side, listen to us on the radio side, anytime, anywhere on the app, the Sports Grid app, available now on the Apple and Google Play Stores. Check it out. Sports Grid app. Always remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Guys, go check it out. Apple and Google Play Stores. Mark, wild weekend overall, man. We got some breakdowns coming up ahead for the Monday action. Two games. We get a appetizer, if you will, with the Bills and the Steelers. The game postponed from Saturday. So it's the early game, and then we get the nightcap, the Eagles and the Bucks. I know we're breaking them down in depth on the other side, but you excited for the Monday doubleheader in the NFL playoffs?
Should be, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Buffalo Bills. Got a future on them to win the AFC. So just make sure they get past this game. I think they cover the number regardless.
Man, covering 10 here at home, guys. 38.5. So we got a sub-40 total with a double-digit favorite. Speaks towards the Bills. The market liking the Bills as well. So Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, we're breaking down the two games tomorrow, taking a look ahead towards the division round matchups as well. Don't go anywhere as we got hour number two of Pro Football Full Circle coming up next. Short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.